Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, a shochet et ha-misukenet. Someone who shefts an animal who's teetering between life and death. It's a sick animal, and you're shefting at that point. The way that the Mishnah is structured is, a shochet et ha-misukenet would make it sound like it is bidiavad. It's not saying that you should do it. It says, if you did sheft it. The Tosafot already mentioned this, afilu chatzkila shari. That you could do this, it's mutar legamre to do such a thing. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. So why did it use a lashon bidyavad? Is to show you that there are other qualifications. We're going to see in the Mishnah, it's not just because you shefted it when it's misukenet that it's okay. There are other simanim that you need. And that's why I did it with lashon bidyavad. But again, there's nothing wrong with shefting an animal that is misukenet, as long as you get the following signs, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. You can see that there's an alternate girsa of Rabban Gamliel. Omer, ad shetiparkes beyad uberegel. The only way that that works is if the animal, after being shechted, now, we'll get to this in the Gemara, in tomorrow's daf, about when this has to happen during the process of shechita, but the animal has to move its arm and its leg in order to indicate that the shechita was the thing that took the life force from the animal, and not that the animal died. This is an animal that's misukenet. It's teetering there. It could have died. So what we want to make sure is that the shechita is actually what killed the animal, and not that the animal died before the shechita was complete. An indication of that is some sort of life force action by the behemah during, after, we'll see tomorrow again, where, along the continuum of the shechita, that indication, according to Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is that it moves its arm and its leg. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, daya im zinka. It is sufficient if it shoots out. Now, as Rashi explains here, and the Gemara is going to note as well, that means that it's the blood flow that comes out after it's shechted. It's not something that just dribbles out. It's something that shoots out with force. That there is real force in the release of the blood, and not simply that it's already dead, and therefore the organs have already shut down before the shechita, and so there's no more pumping in the circulatory system because the animal died before the shechita. If the animal dies in the shechita, then the circulatory system should still be pumping, and then there should be blood that shoots out from there. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that means it lets out a voice or a call moaning at the time that it's shechita, which is something that happens to the moment of shechita when an animal is being killed and it's still alive, versus when it's already dead at the point of shechita. I'm Rabbi Shimon, ashochet balayla, ulamachar ishkim umatzak talim mleim dam. Person does a shechita at night, not like today where we have illumination at night, you can see what's happening. They didn't have illumination at night, especially if you didn't have a candle going. Even with the candle, may not have been so easy. And obviously, subject to the qualification of the Gemara before, that if you sheft at night, it's only kasher b'diavad. But if you do it to the ora vuka, that it might be okay, lechatchila. So they shefted at night, and it was a behemah that was misukenet. But he doesn't know whether it was successful, meaning that there was zinuk. It was the pumping of the blood. He wakes up in the morning and finds the walls full of blood. Then, ksheira, she zinka. The reason it's kasher is because then the blood shot out. Ukumidat, Rabbi Eliezer. Following the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Shimon says ktalim, over here, walls. The pashtut of the Mishnah is that we're speaking about the walls of the house around it. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. The Gemara will say that that's not the case to bring a memra from Shmuel indicating otherwise, but just the Pashtut reads that the blood shot out, and then you wake up in the morning, you see blood all over the place, so then you know that there was blood pumping at the time that you shechted the animal. The question of Rabbi Shimon's relationship to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon says that he's doing this kamida to Rabbi Eliezer, like the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Question is, does Rabbi Eliezer hold of Rabbi Shimon? Is Rabbi Shimon's standard maybe a little bit lower than that of Rabbi Eliezer, because he doesn't require such a force, and that'll come out or be borne out by the way the Gemara explains the walls later on. Chamim omrim, and here's a third opinion, ad shehitiparkes obiad oberegel. Ad shetikashkesh bizanva. The Chamim move back to a siman that is similar to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which is we want movement of the limbs of the animal, but they don't require as much. He said that the yad and the regel have to move. Over here, they say it's either the yad or the regel, whether it's the arm or the leg. Oh, shetikashkesh bizanba. It wags its tail, it moves its tail around. So they have a seemingly lower standard. The Gemara is going to say that they aren't in declining requirement or threshold that is going through the Mishnah. We which means that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel is the most chamur, then Rabbi Eliezer, then the Chachamim. So the Chachamim are the most mekil over here, according to the view of the Gemara. Although, again, from the Pashtuta Mishnah, there are some Mefarshei Mishnah that indicate that Rabbi Eliezer is the most mekil over here, because he says Zinuk, which seems to be the easiest of the qualifications, and maybe easier than what the Chachamim say. So there are those Rishonim that suggest that Rabbi Eliezer is even more mekil than the Chachamim. The Gemara sees a hierarchy that's into the Mishnah, that we're getting more mekil as we move through the Mishnah. Echad ve'im adaka, ve'echad ve'im agasa. It doesn't matter whether it's a light animal or a heavy animal. All these qualifications that we mentioned in the Mishnah are equally applicable to light animals and heavy animals. Beima daka shepashta yada lo ekzira psula shein ela hutzat nefesh bilvad. That requirement of movement of the leg actually tiparkes obiyadu beregel. What is the necessary movement that you need to see? So here there is a distinction that beima daka, if it just stretches out its leg or its arm, velo ekzira, but it never retracts it, it is psula, because that's only a sign of death. A sign of death, and not the animal post-shechita showing a sign of life. So an animal in general, when it's dying, would stick out its leg or have its leg extend. And therefore, that's not a siman that it's still alive at the time of the shechita. In order to show enough life force to indicate that it was shechted while it was still alive, it needs to extend and then retract the leg or the arm as an indicator of life. That's true of a behema daka, of a behema gasa, then you don't need that. A behema gasa, just the extension of the leg is enough, because that's not something that happens naturally when it dies. Therefore, it's an indication of life force, and it'd be sufficient just with the extension of the leg or the arm. You don't need a retraction. All of these simanim that the Mishnah is mentioning is shaita b'cheskat misukenet. That's only if the animal showed signs of being a misukan, meaning that it was teetering on the edge of death. That's when you need something like this. If it was totally healthy and there were no indications that the animal was sick or was on the verge of dying, doesn't have to show any of these signs of life. The only reason we need signs of life here is because there's this fear that the animal might have died before the shechita was complete. So I need some indication to tell me the shechita was what killed it, not the dying of the animal. In a healthy animal, you don't need any of that because the animal was healthy. It wasn't going to die. Your shechita clearly killed the animal. You don't need other simanim besides the shechita itself to tell you that the animal died from the shechita, because there was no reason for this animal to die except for the fact that you did shechita on it. So the simanim are a way to undermine or to offset, mitigate the problem of death preceding shechita. Absent that fear, you don't need any of these simanim. Misukenet mimai desharya. How do you know that a misukenet is mutar? The Mishnah's underlying assumption is that if you succeed at shechting a misukenet, that misukenet would be kasher to eat. The Gemara is asking, how do you know that a misukenet is okay to eat? In classic Gemara style, poses a question back, which is, we might tisik adatin dasiro. Why would you think that it's asur? You're asking the question under an assumption that maybe there's something wrong with a misukenet. Please tell me what you think is wrong with the misukenet that you need me to tell you why it is mutar. Gemara says, dechtiv, zot ha-chaya asher tochlu. These are the animals that you can eat. Chaya achol, she'enu chaya lo tochol. Something that is alive, in more of the sense of a full life force, something that's showing signs of life, you should eat. Something that isn't alive, you shouldn't eat. Vaha misukenet ena chaya. And a misukenet is not considered to be living, and this misukenet is not going to live. It's not going to make it. So maybe only animals that would have lived or are living are you allowed to eat. An animal that's already on the verge of death, maybe that's not called an animal that's living or that will live, and therefore you would be in violation if it's zot ha-chaya asher tochlu. So Gemara says, mida'amar rachmano, since the Torah tells you, nivela lo tochal, that you may not eat a nivela, michlal de misukenet sharia. That's an indication that a misukenet is okay. The thing you can't eat is a nivela. What you can't eat is anything that's not a nivela, and a misukenet is not a nevela. So the stages that we have in the Gemara are, first of all, how do you know it's mutar? The Gemara takes a step back and says, first of all, tell me why you would think it's not mutar. That the Gemara does through the pasuk that seems to indicate that you need a live animal. Live animal means something in its full force, vigor, something that would have lived. Over here, this animal would not have lived. It's teetering on death. And maybe it's not called a chayo, it's not called a living animal because of that. And so you would have thought it was a sur. Mar says, okay, maybe I can prove it to you from the fact that nevela is something that is restricted from being eaten. So nevela is being restricted indicates that whatever is not a nevela, something that's before that point of nevela, would be fine. So the Gemara says, "Di sakadatcha misukenet asira." If you believe that a misukenet is already a sur, that means that when you're on the verge of death, you're already a sur. Forget about death itself. Hashta mechayim asira lachar mita miboy. If already when it's alive, it's already restricted, why do you have to tell me after death that it is restricted? Why do you have to tell me that a nevela is a sur to eat? If there's already an isur to eat it before it reaches the point of nevela, when it's already a misukenet. Now, Tosafot over here says, Hashta savar, the stam nevela misukeneti, kodem mita. There's definitely an underlying assumption here in the Gemara, which the Gemara will challenge only on the second half of today's daf. The Gemara is working with this underlying assumption until it finally in the end brings up the point that maybe this isn't true, which is that anything that is a nevela is produced through a misukenet. You go through a continuum. There's an animal that's alive, it becomes misukenet, and then it dies and it's an nevela. That assumes that that continuum always exists, healthy, sick, and then dead. But the truth is that that's not always true, because an animal can be fully healthy and die because it was killed. It could have been attacked, it could have been sliced in half, the animal, and now it's dead. Never went through the stage of misukenet. So Tosafot says the Gemara here automatically assumes that nevela is produced by a misukenet. And that's the whole nature of the question. If it's already a sur as a misukenet, why do you need the vela? The easy answer to that question is, you need the vela for a case where it didn't go through the stage of misukenet. That the Gemara will get to later. Tosafot makes the point here that the Gemara's assumption here is that any stam nevela is misukenet hi kodem mita. That's the process. Healthy, sick, and then nevela. And that's why they ask their questions. And obviously, he says, death cannot be the thing that allows it to be eaten, like Rashi already explains, which is that you can't have it be that the mita is a trigger that takes it down from its restriction when it was alive. Maybe you would think, when it's alive, it's a sur. The death is what makes it mutar. Rashi says it can't be. If it's already a sur while it's alive, it's certainly a sur when it is dead. Meaning that isur can't disappear at the time of death. You can't assume that just when it was usur, when it was alive, that isur disappeared. You would have to have an indication that is matirit for you and take away the isur. The Gemara's assumption runs on those two legs, which is one, that every nevela goes through a stage of misukenet. And number two is that once it's usur because of misukenet, that's not going to disappear just because it dies. Doesn't mean that death then is a release from that isur. But then, Tosafot says, even if you think that misukenet is not a problem, the question of the Gemara should still exist. And this is Tosafot l'shitatam, which is, amai itzrichra lesur nevela. Why do you need a pasuk to restrict nevela? Ha'asura michayim mishum isur she'enan zbucha. Tosafot says that when an animal is alive, it has an isur on it because it wasn't shechted. Says the fact that the Torah requires you to shecht the animal means prior to the shechting of the animal, it's a sur because you didn't shecht the animal. And he has this isur that not all the Rishonim agree with, and has to do with his view of shechita that we discussed in the introduction to the Masechta, but he believes that there is this restriction of izbucha, which means that you have a demand of zvicha, of shechting the animal in order to make it kasher. If you don't shecht it, then the animal is left with an isur. It's an isur asay that derives from zvicha that you didn't shecht the animal. He says, I already have an isur on a live animal. Every live animal is covered by izbucha, that you didn't shecht it. So then why does the Torah need to tell me about a nevela to be asur? It's asur because you never did shechita. Or in essence, the statement is that if you never have a matir, then the isur remains in place. And even if you don't think there's a problem with misukenet, there's a problem of izbucha, which is Tosafot's position. The answer that Tosafot brings is, Dehavi matzi lemeimar ulutamech. They could have done that. The Gemara could have taken a right turn here and said, according to your reasoning, the logic that you're using over here, that if something's a sur when it's alive, then certainly it should be a sur when it dies, you could have asked this question, even independent of our sugya. Could ask it because of the problem of izbucha. So in the end, the Bali Tosafot do say that that would have been a question, and it's a fair question. The reason they're saying that is because they don't think it's a kal v'chomer. Just because something is usur when it's alive, doesn't mean kal v'chomer it should be usur when it's dead. The reasoning and the logic that he gave here is based on Rashi, which is, once something is asur, you need another command to tell you that it's mutar. If you don't have anything that's matar, it will remain its state of isur. Once you've articulated it that way, then it shouldn't matter what the Isser is. Whether the Isser is because of Misukene, or the Isser is because of Izbucha. Whatever the Isser is, it's going to remain post the death of the animal. If that's the case, why is this a question only in the world of Misukene? It'll be a question in any animal. Every animal is Izbucha. And Tosfos what it says, Enochanami. You're right. The Gemara could have asked that question. It moves down a different line of reasoning, but it could have asked that question. The Chatam Sofer over here in trying to answer this question, the Tosfos says that you might have had a different Havamina. And the Havamina would have been that animals that require Shechita have an Isur of Izbucha. But animals that die don't have that Isur. There'll be two ways to get to the ability to eat an animal. One, that ability would be either if the animal dies, then you'd be mutar to eat it. Or if the animal's alive and you want to kill it to eat it, then you must do it through Shechita. Had it not been for the restriction of Nevela, you would have thought then, possibly, that there are two different mechanisms for making an animal mutar to eat. Killing or dying. And killing has to be done through Shechita. And therefore, Izbucha would not apply to an animal that dies, because Zbucha was only designated for an animal that needed to be killed in order to eat it. That's why he says the Gemara doesn't go that direction, because it's not true. That question is not relevant if you don't have the Isur of Nevela. Once you have the Isur of Nevela, then you have a question if it's Misukenet already, if it's Asur already, then why do you need the Isur of Nevela? But if you only had Shechita and Nevela, you would have put them into two different categories, two different silos, and there would have been different reasoning for each one of them. And that's why you need the Isur of Nevela, to tell you that Mita is not a Matir. That's what the Chatam Sofer says. Over here, the Baal Yetos Sfot seem to indicate that Mita is not a Matir for an Isur that exists before. They might also feel that Mita is not a Matir at all, because there's nowhere that tells you that it gets rid of Eiver Min HaChai. Where is that Eiver Min HaChai gone? Maybe Mita wouldn't get rid of it. That's why maybe the Baal Yetos Sfot didn't go the direction of the Chatam Sofer. Right, so now the Gemara is up to the point where it says, why do I need both Misukenet and Nevela? That shows you that Misukenet must be Mutar, because that's where Nevela takes over to tell you it's Asur, because Misukenet was otherwise Mutar. The Gemara says, Bedelma, Hainu Nevela, Hainu Misukenet. The Gemara says, maybe they are synonymous. Nevela and Misukenet are the same thing. And if they are the same thing, conceptually we would have said, the reason you don't need a specific Isur for Misukenet is because it is already a Nevela. It means that the problem in Nevela starts not at the moment of death. The problem in Nevela starts at the process of death. The animal's already in Nevela when it's about to die. Or in the process of dying, it's already Negdarik in Nevela. And that's why the Torah wrote Nevela, to tell you not only when it's dead is it Asur, it's already Asur from the time that it falls ill. When it says Lo Saka Datcha, you can't say that. Tichtiv, Bichi Yamut, Min HaBeima, Asher Hi Lachem Nochla, Anugea B'Nivlata. So it says here, La'achar mitahu tekariyav machmana nevela. Michayim lo yikre nevela. That proposition is not going to work because the word nevela is specifically associated with death. Only at the point of death is something called nevela. Prior to that point, it's not called a nevela. So we tried to say that misuken and nevela are synonymous. Gemara rejects that because nevela is particularly associated with death, and therefore prior to death, it would not be called a nevela. That means that if you need the Isser of Nevela to tell you that something's problematic at the moment of death, that means until that point in time it was Mutar. And that shows you that Misukenet is Mutar. Where it says, V'doma, lo'olam emelecha, hainu Nevela, hainu Misukenet. The Gemara goes back and says, I will say again that a Nevela and a Misukenet are synonymous. Now the truth is that it's got to be a modified view of this because we just rejected that idea. Over here it's clear that the Tosfot says this is different than the previous Havamina. Previous Havamina said that they were literally synonymous. That means that Misukenet and Nevela are the same thing. And Nevela started before death. The Gemara already went through a stage and says, your Nevela starts after death. There's no such thing as Nevela before the moment of death. So now when the Gemara comes back and says, I'll still say that Nevela and Misukenet are the same thing, it can't be that they're the exact same thing now. What it means is that their Isurim overlap, that they have Isurim that are connected, because they don't go away when the other one comes into being. And that's what Gemara explains over here. Mechayim be'aseh. While it's still alive, while it is a misukenet, it'll be subject to the aseh of zot achaya. That would be the isur that you have from eating a misukenet. Lachar mita bilav. There's an additional restriction that's added at the moment of death. So again here, you're saying to me that the fact that you have to tell me nevela is asur proves to you that before that point it was mutar. It means that Misukenet must have been mutar in order for me to tell you that Nevela is Asur. Or it says maybe not. Maybe Misukenet only has an assay associated with it, which is Zotachaya. you must eat live animals. This is not called a live or animal with vigor in it, and therefore it doesn't qualify. But an assay only generates an iser assay. It doesn't generate a lav. When it dies, you add on an additional iser to it that it's also a lav on top of it. But once you do that, it means that you can't make the deal that you were looking for. The deal, if you wanted to say, was, oh, if it's usur after mita, must be mutar before. That's not true. It might be that it was usur before and usur afterwards. The iser before was an assay. The iser afterwards adds on an additional lav at the time of death. Now, not only would there be an iser assay, there's also an iser lav involved with it. Okay, so we can't prove anything from the iser of nevela, but we have to prove it from the following pasuk. Midama rachmana, treifa lo tochal. That you may not eat a treifa. Michlal, de misukenet sharya. That shows you that a misukenet must be mutar. If it has to tell you that a treifa is no good, then it must mean that a misukenet is okay. De'i salkadatcha misukenet asira. If you think that a misukenet was restricted, hashta misukenet delo michsira. Here a misukenet that's missing nothing. Asura is restricted. Treifa mibayi. You have to tell me about a treifa where it's missing a limb. Gemara's assumption here is clearly that treifa is more chamur or is a more serious issue than the issue of misukenet. Tosafot already asked the question. We have a list of treifot. Not all treifot are mechusar eiver. Some treifot are actually when you have extra eivarim. So Tosafot answers the question by saying the Gemara here and the Gemara in Bechorot always says, kol yitur kechaser dami. When you have an extra limb, it's the equivalent of missing a limb. It's the same thing as missing. Therefore, all treifot are really about missing limbs. The truth is that the pashtut of the meaning of the word treifa means that it was attacked, and now it's missing something. It was taruf. Something was taken away from the animal. So just the pashtut of the mila, without getting into Tosafot's fancy footwork, the meaning of the word treifa means something that is missing. The Gemara's assumption here is that an animal that's missing something is in a worse position than a misukenet, than an animal that is in danger of dying or on the verge of dying. That is not at all clear or necessarily a follow-through logic, but it's something that the Gemara clearly believes over here and is going to follow through with that logic. That's based on, number one, the view that treifa lo chaya. Treifot don't live. We're going to have a machloket in the Gemara as to whether treifa chaya or treifa lo chaya. We've seen it before. Mizbachim, Menachot, we saw it by Ben Noach over here. Whether the treifa can live, or is a treifa automatically doomed to a death? And here the Gemara clearly believes that a treifa must die, and that's why it's saying it's a kal v'chomer. If I have a misukenet who is going to die, and I have a treifa which is also going to die, Gemara says, if I know that a misukenet is a sur, then certainly a treifa that's missing an aver is going to die, is certainly going to be a sur. Why do I need a separate pasuk to tell me an iser of treifa if misukenet is already a sur? So the Achronim ask your question, which is, even given the way I've formulated it now, it still could be that a treifa is not as chamur as a misukenet, because misukenet is on the verge of dying. Treifa, generally when we say lo chaya, means up to 12 months. It could live, but it's not going to make it through the next 12 months. That still seems to be a longer tail than a misukenet, which seems to be teetering on the verge of life and death. So, number of answers that are given, including the possibility that a misukenet can be cured, whereas a treifa can't be cured. That's one way that the Achronim go. The other way the Achronim go is that the Gemara sees mechusar eiver, something missing, a physical defect or physical missing item, as being a more serious problem for the animal than simply it's slowly aging or getting ill and dying from weakness. So even given the question that you're asking, it's clear that the Gemara does not view it that way, and it still views treifa as being more serious than something that is a misukenet. Given that, if misukenet was a sore, you wouldn't have to have a separate pasuk to tell me, don't eat treifot. The Gemara says, again, try something like this. V'dilma, hainu treifa, hainu misukenet. Who says that treifa and a misukenet are different things? Maybe treifa and misukenet are synonymous. This goes back to the original view of the Gemara with the Vela, which is that they're exactly equated. Treifa and misukenet are the same. The way the Ramban explains it over here is that treifa, which we said before, means missing or some deficit in the animal. So that treifa can be in one of two ways. You can have a treifa, which means that there's a physical limb missing from the animal, and that's why it's called a treifa. Or you can be a treifa bibriut. Your health can be diminished or can be missing something. And therefore, the definition of treifa now, according to the Gemara, is something where the life of the animal is now missing or in deficit. And therefore, misukenet and treifa mean the same thing. And that's what the Gemara is saying. And then why do you need both of them? because the Isser of Misukenet only comes from Zot HaKaya, which is an Asay. Velot Asay is the restriction of Treifa, and you may not eat a Treifa. So you have Treifa that gives you a Lav, you have Misukenet that gives you an Asay, and maybe they are the exact same thing. So that's why you have to have Treifa, and it's not necessarily indicative of the fact that Misukenet must be Mutar. It says, Imkain, Nevela Dichtiv Rahmana, Lamali. If it's already Asur Michaim, if it's already Asur while it's alive, why do you need Nevela? Now in the past we said because you wanted the lav. That's why we said you need it. Even if it was a misukenet, you would still need the lav and nevela, because misukenet's only an essay, and nevela adds a lav. But now you've taken care of that problem, because while it's still alive, you already have an essay and a lav. You have the essay of Zot HaChaya, and you have the lav of Treifa. So that's already while it's alive. Why do I need now to tell you when it dies that it has an Isur? You've already have all these serim lined up before it ever dies. And if it's Asur before it dies, then when it dies, it certainly remains Asur. So then, what do you need Nevela for? My Mechayim Kayala Bilav Asay. While it's still alive already, it already has a restriction both of an Asay, Zot HaChaya, for Misukenet, and a Lav of Treifa, Lachar Mitami Boy. So then you need a Pasuk of Nevela to tell me it's Asur after death. Vidoma, Hainu Nevela, Hainu Treifa, Hainu Misukenet. Maybe they are all synonymous. Now, obviously, again, Nevela is not synonymous because Nevela only applies at the moment of death. Synonymous means that you just have a cumulative effect of Isurim over here. To say this, you have a continuum of Isurim. Once it's a Misukenet while it's alive, that makes it into both a Treifa and a Misukenet. So you have an Isur Asay of Zot HaChaya. You have an Isur Lav of Treifa. When it dies, you add on another Lav of Nevela. And you're just stacking Isurim. So maybe Nevela is not distinct from here. Maybe it's the same thing. It's just a continuum. This is a continuing process that starts with Misukenet, which is also called a Treifa, that lands up as a Nevela. And it's just the introduction to being a Nevela as being a Misukenet. And all it's doing is adding on additional Isurim along the way by having it be a Nevela Asur. But that doesn't prove that a Misukenet is Mutar. Elam Yocha. We learn it from here. V'chelev Nevela, V'chelev Treifa, Yaseh L'chol Melacha. When it comes to the fats of a Nevela, the fats of a treifa that are otherwise asur b'achila, yaseh l'chol melacha, you can get hana from them. It's mutar b'hana'a for you. And Rashi adds, it also doesn't have tumat nevela, v'achol lo tochlu, but you may not eat it. The pasuk is telling you two pieces of information. One, that it's mutar b'hana'a. The second piece of information, that it's that you may not eat it. V'amar mar, l'may hilchata amra Torah. Why does the Torah have to tell you it is asur? First of all, it's a sur because it's chaylev. It's also a sur because it's an avela or it's a treifa. What's the pasuk adding by telling you you shouldn't eat it? That's a given. Why would you think you can't eat it? There's nothing here that would make it mutar be'achila. Chaylev is a sur even in kosher animals, even with a kosher shkita. Avela and treifa just add on another isur. So what's the avamina to say, oh, it's a chaylev, if it's a avela or a treifa, the chaylev would have been in mutar to eat. Doesn't make any sense. There seems to be an additional isur here that's unnecessary. The answer is, amra Torah, Yavo Isur Nevela, v'yichol al Isur Chelev. Yavo Isur Treifa, v'yichol al Isur Chelev. The Chedesh over here is that the Chelev would not have otherwise allowed the Isur of Nevela or Treifa to devolve upon it. That's because of the principle of Ein Isur Chal al Isur. We have a principle that when you have one Isur already in place, you can't have another Isur come and lay on top of that Isur. If you're, it's the same Isur, then you can have multiple violations. So for instance, if you're eating something that is a sheretz ha'aretz, the Gemara will point out to us that you can be in violation of numerous lavim. That doesn't mean that you can't have multiple lavim on the sheretz, because the sheretz qualifies for all of these lavim. What ein isur chalal isur means is that if you already have an isur that's in effect on the animal, then you can't add on another isur on top of that. So an example of that would be, for instance, if you have an isur chelev, the chelev, the fats of the animal, are asur to be eaten. Then it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also makes it asur to eat anything. So now, does the isur of Yom Kippur lay on top of the isur of chelev? Or since the thing's already asur b'chelev, you can't have isur of Yom Kippur sit on top of it. So that's a question of ein isur chalal isur, or is isur chalal isur? Even according to those that say ein isur chalal isur, there are certain times that it's an exception, including what's called an isur mosif, where the isur adds on additional factors, like if it was only asur b'achila, now it's also asur b'ana, or there's something called an isur kolel, which Yom Kippur is, which is that it includes additional items in it. Yom Kippur doesn't just make chilev asur b'achila, it makes all foods asur b'achila. So that's called an isur kolel. So sometimes when that isur is either a mosif or a kolel, there are many that believe that then isur is chalal isur. Over here you have chilev. Chilev is asur while the animal's alive already. The isur of chilev exists before it becomes a treifa, before it becomes a nevela. If that's the case, in Yisrael, Kala Yisrael would say that the basar, the flesh of this animal is a treifa, the flesh of this animal is a nevela, but the chelev itself will just remain a sur because it is chelev. It will not have the Yisrael of nevela associated with it. It will not have the Yisrael of treifa, because ain't Yisrael Kala Yisrael. The chiddush of the pasuk comes to tell you, chelev nevela, the chelev treifa. If it's chelev of a nevela, then it's classified as nevela. The chelev of a treifa, it's classified as a treifa. That means that the chelev not only has the Yisrael of chelev, it also has the Yisrael of treifa. It also has the Yisrael of nevela. The Rambam claims the reason is because it's an Yisrael kolel, because it's an Yisrael that adds on additional restrictions. Before, only the chelev was asur. Nevela adds on that the entire animal is asur. Or if treifa adds on that the entire animal is asur v'achila. So that's the way the Rambam learns it. Many think that that's not the case, because then you wouldn't need the pasuk. If it's because it's an Yisrael kolel, then that's one of the exceptions, according to some, of Yain Yisrael Chal Yisrael, then you don't need a pasuk to teach you that. Elohim Kain, and then the Rambam is telling you that the pasuk is showing you that Yisrael kolel is able to be chal on Yain Yisrael Chal Yisrael, and that's maybe what it's coming to teach you. But otherwise, most see it as a gzeret ha-katuv here, that even though Yain Yisrael Chal Yisrael, that Chelev, the Vela and Trefa do devolve upon the Yisrael of Chelev. V'yisal kadatcha, Trefa hainu misukenet, if you think that Trefa is synonymous with misukenet, lichtov rachmana, chelev nevela, yaseh, techol melacha. The chelev treifa, lo tochlu. You could have done this in a very different way. You could have broken it up into two separate statements instead of making it one statement that's repeated. Over here, the way that the pasuk's written, it says, chelev nevela, and chelev treifa. It gives you two different topics that it's speaking about, and then it gives you both rules. One rule is that it's mutar bana, and it doesn't have tumat. The other rule is that it's asur b'achila. Said, if the way you're saying it, that the treifa is equal to misukenet, and they all lead into nevela, then the pasuk could have written the following. Lichtov rachmana, chelev nevela yaseh lechol melacha. The chelev of a nevela, you can do whatever you want with it. It's mutar bana, and it doesn't have tumat. The chelev treifa lo tochlu, and the chelev of a treifa you should not eat. And then you would have learned both dinim. You would have learned the heter of hana'a, and you would have learned the restriction against eating it, meaning that there's an iser halal isur. Vana mina, and I would have known once the pasuk writes it that way. Uma mechayim atur iser treifa halal isur chelev. Then while it's still alive, there's a restriction of treifa on the chelev because treifa and misukenet are now synonymous. That means that the Yisrael of Treifa happens before the animal's dead. The Yisrael of Treifa exists while it's still alive. And that means that the Treifa now devolves upon the Chelev while it's still alive. Lachar mitami boy. Then why do you have to tell me about Nevela? But for sure Nevela is going to devolve upon the Chelev after the point of... So that's the Kavachomer. And Rashi explains the Kavachomer in the following manner. Yisrael of Misukene is only because you're approaching death. Va'ate v'chayel a Yisrael Chelev and still exists on top of the Chelev. I mean Treifa exists on top of the Chelev. Nevela gufa mi boy. Then you need to tell me about death itself. So he's again making the point that misukenet is an introduction to death. The reason misukenet is problematic is because it's approaching death. It's not because misukenet inherently is problematic. The problem with misukenet is that it's going to reach to the next stage of death. But if misukenet is asur, or something about misukenet is true, it certainly be true about nevela, or about death, because the whole problem with misukenet is that it's approaching death, and that's what's causing the problem for you. Then death itself is obviously going to be a much more serious violation. Or in essence, the Isur Nevela already has started from the moment it was a Misukenet or a Treifa. And therefore, there's no question that the Isur Nevela would devolve upon Chelev, because Misukenet and Treifa are just a prelude to Nevela. That's the way Rashi reads the Kavachomer. And Tosfot brings Perush Bakuntris. And he says, V'kasha le'perusho. He brings down numerous questions on Rashi's explanation here. And therefore, he brings two alternative explanations of the Kavachomer. One from the Rabbeinu Tam, and one from the Rabbeinu Gershom. It's only interesting because he quotes from the Rabbeinu Gershom, but Rabbeinu Gershom that we have on the side of our daf doesn't have what Tosafot quotes. But either way, he brings first from the Rabbeinu Tam, a Feresh, Dafi Kamar. This is the Kavachomer. Uma treifa demichayim lo mitamei, chayal al isur chelev, nevela delachar mita mitamei, miboyi. So he says the Kavachomer is in the Misukenet, which is, while it's still alive, if you call that a treifa, and then you're saying to me the Isur of treifa now devolves upon chelev, and you have two isurim while it's still alive, treifa only generates one problem. That's a problem of achila. You're not allowed to eat a treifa. Nevela, which happens at the moment of death, creates two problems. It creates a problem of achila, you're not allowed to eat it, but it also adds on an additional problem of tum'ah. A treifa doesn't have tum'ah. That's the difference between a treifa and a nevela. A treifa is something that is a sur to eat, but does not have tum'ah. Nevela is something that is both a sur to eat and has tum'ah, and that's the kal v'chomer. The Rebbeinu Tam says the kal v'chomer is generated by the addition of tum'ah to nevela, and that's why it's a kal v'chomer. If it's a sur by treifa, certainly it should be a sur by nevela. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam expresses it. And then he brings the Rabbeinu Gershom's explanation. I have a fresh. Umar mechayim atar isur treifa chalal isur chelev. Afa gab delekna meimar de treifa migo de chalal isur chayal nami ahai isur. De chelev nevela shalacharmita shaita misukenet mitchila. De the maker migo de chayal ahai isur nevela ahai isur misukenet chayal nami ahai isur chelev lo mi bai. He says here that there would have been a larger havamina to say that treifa should not lay on top of the Isur of Chelev. And that is because while it's still alive, the Isur of Chelev exists, and there's no other Isur that's entering the fray. So now you're trying to introduce a new Isur to place on top of the Chelev. You're starting from zero. You're starting from a standing start, and you're trying to say, I have something that's misukenet, that's negdarka treifa now all of a sudden. Now I want to place the treifa, that Isur treifa, on chelev, which was an Isur that existed from the time the animal was born. So now, if that is successful, treifa is successful at devolving upon chelev, then certainly nevela, which is an Isur that clearly happens at the moment of death. At the moment of death, nevela is triggered, and we said before that it adds on an Isur on top of treifa. Not only do you have an Isur of misukenet and treifa, now you're adding on an additional Isur of nevela. That Isur nevela now sits on top of treifa misukenet. If it's successful at sitting on top of treifa and misukenet, certainly it should sit on top of chelev, and that's the kal v'chomer. If treifa is successful, a lav that has no other manifestation in the animal where it's successful at overriding anything or sitting on top of another isur, still is successful at sitting on top of the isur of chelev, nevela, which already we know sits on top of the isur of treifa, then it certainly should be able to sit on top of the isur of nevela. And that is the kal v'chomer according to the Rabbeinu Gershom. And Tosfot has issues with that as well. So then the Gemara says, Ela midektav rachmana nevela, michlal de treifa lav hainu misukenet. The fact that the Torah wrote nevela, that shows you that the treifa can't be misukenet. Because otherwise you wouldn't need nevela, because the misukenet would have triggered the Isur beforehand, and you wouldn't need the Vela to tell you any information that you didn't have previously. And that's what Rashi says, that if you could only get through the world of Nevela through Treifa, which is Misukenet, then you wouldn't need the Isur of Nevela at all. And you would have restructured the Pasuk to read, Echelev Nevela is Mutar Ba'ana, Echelev Treifa, don't eat, and you would have done it from a Kal V'chomer. The fact that the Pasuk doesn't structure it that way shows you that nevela is not a derivative of Treifa. And that means that there's a possibility of something being a Misukenet and not being a Treifa. There are two different problems. One is misukenet, one is treifa. Nevela can come from either one of them. It can come through misukenet, and it can come through treifa. And that then indicates to you that the misukenet must be mutar. The fact that the Torah has to specify nevela separately means that it's not always a treifa before it ends up as a nevela. There's another way, or there's another mechanism for getting to nevela, and that is misukenet. Because otherwise, it would have been a kal v'chomer. Because to treifa la mishum kiruv mitahi, ela mishum chisaron. And the difference between misukenet and treifa is that a treifa is a problem because of the inherent missing limb, whereas misukenet is problematic because of its closeness or proximity to death, and misukenet leads into the death by nevela. Whereas treifa, you wouldn't automatically assume because something's a sur because of treifa, it's a sur because of nevela. Because treifa is not a prelude to nevela. Because treifa is a problem of missing aver. Nevela is a problem of death. Missing aver is not synonymous with death. And it's not because it's going to die that it's a sur. It's going to absorb just because of the fact that it's missing the aver. Therefore, you now undermine the kal v'chomer. And you can no longer make the kal v'chomer from treifa to nevela. And that's why you have to segregate treifa from nevela. So that's the way Rashi explains it. Given now that we've gotten to that point where we've proved now that misukenet is independent of treifa, and the fact that misukenet is independent of treifa indicates to us that misukenet must be mutar, because nevela, it makes it asur. Matkifla mar baravashi. V'dilma, d'olam emelecha. I'll say this. Hainu treifa, hainu misukenet. Treifa and misukenet are synonymous. U'tagamart, nevela d'ichtav rachmana lomali. Then what do you need nevela for? V'hach nevela, d'lo acha mikoach misukenet. It's a question that the Tosafot already noted earlier on. And now the Gemara is finally getting around to it, which is not all nevelot come through Mesukenet. Sometimes you get a nevela, but not through Mesukenet. So the reason you need an Easter nevela is because maybe this is for nevela that didn't come through the path of Mesukenet. Vehidami, what's a case where it is a nevela without ever going through the process of Mesukenet? Chasa gistera. He sliced it in half. He cut the animal in half, and that made it into a nevela right away. And Rashi makes the additional statement of, he adayin miparkeset, and the animal's still moving. After you slice it in half, the animal's still moving around, shows you that it wasn't a misukenet, that it had full life and vigor in it when it was killed. It was only because you sliced it in half and you made it into a nevela. But that's not something that was misukan before it became a nevela. So hatam nami, the Gemara says over there, ef shar d'lavi misukenet purta, becoming to lift soak the ruba. It can't be that the animal is not on the verge of teetering between life and death before you hit the rove. Before you hit the rove of cutting the animal, which would then deem it to be dead based on the fact that you're slicing it in half and making it into a nevela, there's a point in time during the process of your splitting the animal where you've cut enough that the animal is in danger of dying, but it won't automatically die. Every death is a misukenet. Just a question of how long the duration of the misukenet is. For some animals, misukenet lasts for a certain amount of time, for a duration of time. For certain animals, it's a couple of seconds or even moments before the misukenet turns into death. But there is always a moment of misukenet right before the animal dies. V'ibaytema, another way to deal with it is, imkein lema chelev nevela vitrefa. It should have combined the chelev nevela and trefa together. Chelev, chelev, lamali. What is the duplication of the word chelev for? Zohish ein chelba chaluk mi bisara. Only these items have a din where it's chelev and it's basar have the same din. V'yesh lecha acheret shel chelba chaluk mi bisara. But there is something else where the din of the basar is different than the chelev. Vezuzo, which is that? Misukenet. The case of misukenet. As opposed to nevela and trefa, where the basar is asur and the chelev is asur. So it wrote chelev nevela, chelev trefa, to tell you that it's these particular items where basar and chelev are, in a sense, the same problem, or are restricted no matter what. But there is another case where the chelev will be asur and the basar will be mutar. And that case is the contrast to the chelev nevela and chelev trefa, and that's the case of misukenet. That's a second way to learn it. And then there's a third way to learn it, which is based on the pasuk in Yechezkel. So here we're trying to figure out how do we know that a misukenet is mutar. The first way to learn it is the fact that the Torah writes the Isser of Nevela, even though there's an Isser of Trefa. And in presenting the Isserim of Chelev, Nevela, and Chelev Trefa, it separates them out and puts them at the beginning as the subject of all the Isserim there. Instead of specifying that it's a Surbit Trefa, and you would have known automatically that it's Nevela, that shows you that Nevela and Trefa must be separate items. And therefore, Trefa and Misukenet are not synonymous. And that's why Trefa doesn't automatically lead to Nevela and it's not a Kal v'Chomer. And given that, if a Nevela is a Surah, then clearly Misukenet was Muteret. By the fact that the Pasuk didn't write it that way, shows you that that wouldn't have been the Kal v'Chomer. Therefore, Trefa and Misukenet are not synonymous. And if Misukenet is distinct from Trefa, it shows you that only when it becomes a Nevela is it a Surah. Before that point in time, it was muteret. That's the first mechanism. We asked the question on that. Maybe it's a case where it's a gistera, it came in a vela without ever passing through the stage of misukenet. We said that all animals pass through misukenet, even if it's for a shortest moment, terrifying, they get to a point of misukenet before they die. That's the first way, and that continues the thought process that we've done all along. Noir then jumps and says maybe the source is from the fact that it separates out chelev nevela and chelev trefa, when it could have combined them. It said chelev nevela vitrefa. Why does it write chelev a second time? That comes to teach you a miut and say that these items have chelev and basar are on the same level of isur. But there's somewhere else where the basar and the chelev don't have the same isur. And that the chelev is asur and the basar is mutar. And that's the case of musukenet, which is contrasted with nevela and trefa. And now we have a third approach of how to find it based on the pasuk in Yechezkel. Hashem tells Yechezkel he's going to have to eat things that are usim, things that are disgusting, things that he wouldn't otherwise eat. And Yechezkel replies to Hashem that I never have eaten anything ma'us in my life. And he gives examples of things that he didn't eat. And from those examples, we'll get to the conclusion that Misukenet is not asur. V'omar, aha, Hashem Elukim, hinei nafshi lo mitum'ah, my soul was never defiled. V'nevelau trefa lo achalti mini'urai v'adata. I've never eaten anything that was a nevela trefa from my youth until now. Below Baba Fi Basar Pigul. and I never tasted even basar of pigul. Bashtur pasuk is that Yecheskel is a kohen, and as a kohen, he's saying, I never ate basar pigul. I never ate nevela and treifa, which is a isur that's brought in Sefer Yecheskel later on. We read it for the Haftorah for Parshat Emor, that the kohanim are restricted from eating nevelot and treifot. The Gemara asks on that, isn't everybody restricted in eating nevelot and treifot? The Gemara answers that kohanim have a specific restriction because they're so involved with the basar and the korbanot that they're more likely to have a problem of nevela or treifa. That's why they need an extra warning. So Yecheskel is basically saying that I, as a kohen, never ate anything to defile myself. I never ate a nevela and treifa, which is a restriction we're going to see later on in Yecheskel for kohanim. And I never ate basar pigul, which is basar that was rendered unfit through machshava in kodoshim, because he's a kohen, and I never ate basar pigul. That's the pashtura pasuk. The Gemara, on the other hand, is going to darshan it and say, hinei nafshi lo mituma. My soul was never defiled. Shelo yeharti bayom, lavodi de tuma balayla. I never had improper thoughts during the day that caused me to have a seminal emission at night. Some point out that the reason that the Gemara darshans this way is because it doesn't say, lo timeti nafshi. I didn't defile my nefesh. Rather, it says, nafshi lo mituma. My nefesh never ended up becoming tamei. It seems to indicate that the tuma comes around passively, but there was some action that he did that then results in the nefesh becoming passively tamei. That's this indication of hirhur bayom that results in the emission at night. Nevelo treifa lo achalti min urai. I never ate a nevelo or treifa even for my youth. Shelo achalti basar koskos meolam. Kos in Aramaic means to shecht. I never ate meat that they say, come shecht it quickly. The reason we have to come and shecht it quickly is because the animal is teetering on life and death. It's about to die, and they want to shecht it before it dies. Lo ba b'fi basar pigul. And I never ate anything that was pigul. Shlo achalti bim behema shehore ba chacham. I never ate from an animal where they had to go get a psak to see if it was kosher or not. And it wasn't obvious up front that it was kosher, and then they had to go to a rav to get a psak, and the rav gave a psak that it is mutar. I never ate from such an animal that had such a safek. Shum rabbi natan amru, shlo achalti mi behema. I never ate from an animal that didn't have the matnot kuna taken off of it. So now the Gemara makes this statement, and then we'll go through all the items. Yamart bishlama shario. If you believe that misukenet was otherwise mutar, haine rebute the Yecheskel. That's what Yecheskel is saying. The chiddush of Yecheskel says, even though it was mutar, I didn't eat it. Eliyamayat asura asira. If you say it was asur anyway, my rebute the Yecheskel. What was the chiddush of Yecheskel? It was restricted for everyone, and Yecheskel said, I didn't eat things that were asur. Oh, great! Of course you didn't eat things that are asur. What's he saying to Hashem, that you're asking me to eat all these things that are ma'us? I never ate this, this, and this. All of those things are asurim in a Torah. What type of credit is he trying to get from the fact that he says, I never ate things that are asur? If these were things that were otherwise mutar, and then he's trying to give credit and say to God, I was with Nimishur at the din. I never engaged even things that were like this, that are ma'us. I never touched them, even though they were mutarim. So how could you ask me now to eat all this stuff that is ma'us? That's Gemara's premise. And that means the example that is brought over here is that I never ate from an animal. They said koskos. I never ate from an animal. They said, come, shecht it quickly, which is a misukenet, which implies that a misukenet otherwise would have been muteret. You could have eaten a misukenet, but he chose not to. He voluntarily stayed away from that. And that shows that he avoided things that were ma'us, but not that it was asur. And from there you see that a misukenet is muteret. Otherwise, Yecheskel can't take credit for the fact that he didn't eat it. He couldn't eat it because it was asur. If it's mutar, then he can take credit for it. So then the Baal Yitzchus would ask, what about the case of lo yeharti bayom lavodi day tuma balayla? That's something that's restricted to everybody. What type of credit was he getting for the fact that he didn't have hirurim during the day and have these seminal emissions at night? What type of chiddush is that if it's asur to everybody? The Baal Dei Tosafot says something interesting. They say, Eino Hanami, it's asur to everybody, and yet he was still taking credit for it, because the Gemara tells us in Gittin, Shlosha Dvarim Ein Adam Nitzol Mehem B'chol Yom. There are three violations that people cannot avoid that happen every day. Hirhur Aveira, Lashon Hara, Biyun Tefillah. We went through all of those items there in the Gemara in Gittin, but one of them is Hirhur Aveira. And Hirhurim are things that people cannot control, are unavoidable. It's something so hard to manage. So what Yecheskel is saying is, despite the fact that it's asur and nobody can avoid it, I managed to avoid it. I kept myself out of that problem. So that's why he wants credit for it, because it's something that other people can't manage or other people can't avoid. And he still was successful at avoiding such thoughts
or no such irurei avera. Then the last of the items, which is either I did not eat from a beima shehore be'akakam. Again, it has to be a case where it was otherwise mutar. There was a safek in it. They asked the chacham, and it would have been mutar, and still he avoided it, which would actually match up with pigul, which is that the Torah says, he says, I didn't eat pigul. Pigul is a isur that's generated by machshava. And same thing over here, when you have a psak of the chacham, not that a psak that comes from misora, but a psak that comes from svora, where he argues that the animal is kasher through svora, that is an animal that's mutar through machshava. And even though it's mutar machshava, he was no egg and isur like pigul. He had an isur machshava about it. He accepted this psak of chacham, but he avoided it because he didn't want to get involved in spekot like those. Now, the last one, which is that he didn't eat from an animal that didn't have matnot taken off of it, that is somewhat problematic. First of all, because he is a Kohen, and therefore he doesn't have to give the matnot to anybody else. He can keep the matnot for himself, but he's a Kohen. So Rashi says, "Va'afa pishuaya Kohen, ublo arama yochol achla." He could have eaten it without taking it off, because he was a Kohen. So Rashi says the Kiddush was that it was Meirin, that he took it off, and he separated it out, even though it wasn't necessary. That does present a problem for a machloket we're going to see later on, which is if you don't take the matnot kuna out of the animal, is the animal tevel, or is it mutar, it's just you have an isur of theft, which is that you're taking what belongs to the kohen. Rabbi Yochanan later on is of the opinion that when you don't take off the matnot kuna, that it has an isur of tevel. This breita would seem to undermine that position of Rabbi Yochanan, because this breita says that it would have been otherwise mutar. It's something that he could have eaten, and yet he went with Nimi Shur at the din and said, I didn't do it that way. Which is what Rashi says. He was a Kohen, he could have eaten it. It wasn't Tevel. Which shows you that there's no need to take off the Matnot Kuna over here. Tosfot, on the other hand, says, Yeshlamar, the Rabbi Yochanan Tzavar Gaman Damar, Shalo Achal Mi Beimash Rabba Chacham. Tosfot says that Rabbi Yochanan has to hold like the other version of what we said over here, that I didn't eat from something that a Chacham gave a Psak about. Others suggest that what he did over here was, even though, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he had to take off the matnot in order not to be tevel, he could have kept the matnot for himself. But he didn't do that, he gave them to another Kohen. So that was Lefim Nishur at the din. Even though he could have separated them out and then eaten the animal and kept them for himself, he didn't do that and he handed them off to some other Kohen, and that was Lefim Nishur at the din that he did over here. And then it could be reconciled even with Rabbi Yochanan. So here's a third way that we know that a Misukenet is Mutaret. Now I'm going to ask the obvious question, which is, Heichidami Misukenet? How do you know an animal is misukenet? What are the simanim? What are the signs that an animal is misukenet? So I'm reviewing the marav, kol shemam bidinota, veino emedet. Any animal that you try to stand up, and it does not stay standing, it automatically goes right back down to the ground. It's too weak to stay up on its own, and every time you lift it, it just goes right back down to the ground. Rav Chanina bar Shalmaya mishmei derav amar, afilo ochelelet vikiot. Even if it has enough strength to eat, as Rashi says over here, sheish la koach mishina, the kevin animal medet misukenet here. Even though it can eat and has strength to do the chewing and eating bundles of wood given to the animal, despite that indication of strength, the fact that it can't stand up already makes it a misukenet, even though it has the strength to eat. And then we have an additional one, which is Rami bar Yechezkel amar, afilo chelet korot. Even if it's chewing on boards of wood, I mean, it's exerting significant energy working on this, chewing down some boards of wood or some thing that's very hard, that's still not an indication that it's not misukenet if it can't stand up. So even though you have these somewhat mitigating simanim or contrary indicators that seems to say that it has strength, nevertheless, the mere fact that it can't stand up automatically governs over here to say that it is a misukenet. Misura matnei hachi. That's the way the misura was in surah, which is they have the original statement of Rabbi Yehuda Merav. And then you have Yochanina bar Shalmaya bringing a qualification, and then Rami bar Yechezkel bringing another qualification. Bepumbadita matneyachi. In Pumbadita, they had the Mesora in the following way. Heikidami amisukenet. What is animal that's negdar kim misukenet? Amarav yudam arav, kol shimami dimota veino omedet. Any animal that you try to stand up and it doesn't stay upright. Ba filu ochelet mikiyot. Even if it's eating bundles of wood. So over here, the attribution of that qualification is to Rami yudam arav. It's not a separate qualification, but afterwards, Rabbi Yehuda Merav themselves said that qualification. Rami bar Yechezkel amar, afilu ochelet korot. And then Rami Yechezkel, like in the previous case, adds on the additional item. Rashi points out that they're not arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, they're just coming to add on. They're saying, v'chein, meaning that they don't disagree that if it doesn't stand up, that that's the indication. Everybody agrees to that. They're just saying, even though you have other indications or contrary indicators, if you can't stand up, still negdarka misukene. And they're just adding on that there, even though they have these other signs, it's still the din of Rabbi Yehuda Marav stands, no pun intended, that the animal cannot stand means that there's a misukenet over here. Ashkenu Shmuel the Tamidei de Rav. Shmuel found the Tamidei Marav, obviously after Rav had passed away. Amar lehu, maya marav misukenet. What did Rav say about a misukenet? Amru lei, hachi amarav. This is what Rav says. Goa ve tila rei, u kishkesha ba'azna, harizet pirkus. If the animal, either according to the way Rashi reads it, groans or moans, etila rei, or it defecates, or it moves its tail, harizet pirkus. These are the similar or equate to or synonymous with the pirkus that's demanded in the Mishnah, and any one of these are signs of life. Amar lehu, itzricha la'aba la'zuzei one. I needed Abba. Abba's a reference to Rav. Rashi says because Abba was a title or a accolade that Shmuel used in order to express his kavod for Rav. So he used to call him my father, Abba, as a way of expressing his tremendous respect or honor that he was showing or demonstrating towards Rav. So he says it was Rav Yakari le Shmuel Hakim Mishum Kavod. So he says it was a private name that Shmuel used to call Rav out of his respect for Rav. Everybody else called him Rav. There then the Bali Tosafot bring from the Oruch the other way around, that Abba was his name, and Rav was his title or accolade that was given to him by the people, and therefore Shmuel, who was viewed himself as a peer with Rav, called Rav by his real name, Abba. And so Shmuel called him Abba, but everybody else called him Rav. The Bali Tosafot bring from the Oruch, who sees the Abba as being his real name, versus Rashi, who sees Abba as being a different accolade besides Rav. Shmuel called him on a more personal note, an even more respectful and personal accolade, which was that of Abba. So he says, I needed Rav to tell me about moving its ear. Shani Omer, Koshein Udvarim, Shamita Osam. I say that anything that death doesn't do, then that is considered to be something that is a sign of life. My ninu dvarim shemita usa. What is something that death causes? Amravana dima farshle mine demar shmuel haita yad kufa upashtata. If the leg was already contracted and it extended it, that's dvar shemita usa. That's something that death causes, and that's not a sign of life. Pshuta, it was already extended, vikafafa, and then it contracted it, then dvarim shemita usa. That's something that's not caused by death. Tosfot says about Rav's positions that even Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, depending on what girsa you have in our Mishnah, who is machmir by Pirkus and says you have to have the yad and the regal move, these indications that Rav put over here, they're good enough to be considered as if you did both of them. That's what Shmuel really says about Rav, which is Rav's thresholds are so high. Those signs of life are good enough even for Rabban Gamliel. My thresholds are much lower than that because I only need what the Chachamim say at the end of the Mishnah, which are much more meikil. My kamash malan. What's Shmuel teaching us? Tanina. We already have that in our Mishnah. That if it extends its leg or arm and doesn't retract it, that's pasul. She'ena ela hutzat nefesh. That's a sign of death, not a sign of life. Hayek zira. The deal you would make out of the Mishnah is that if it contracted, if it retracted it, it would be kshera. Imi matnitin. If I had the Mishnah, havamina davka, the kaifa upashta, bahadur kaifala, that you would need it to actually do two motions. It's already contracted, then it extended it, and then it retracted it again. Aval pshuta, if it was already extended, vikafafata, and then it contracted or retracted it, lo, that wouldn't have worked. Kamash malan, that's what Shmuel teaches us. So Shmuel's chiddush is that anything that is a normal thing that animals do in death, that's not a sign of life. If there's anything above that or in addition to that, that's a sign of life. We might have said, what does Shmuel mean by that? Shmuel means by that, that if the animal extends its leg, that's a natural action that happens at the point of death, and that's not a sign of life. If the animal contracts their leg or arm, that's a sign of life. We might have said, the Mishnah already said that. Since for our Mishnah, you could have understood you needed both the extension and the retraction of the leg or arm. Shmuel tells you all you need is the contraction of the limb, and that's enough to be a sign of life. And that's Shmuel responding to the Talmidim of Rav, who give you a list of items that indicate that the animal is still alive. He says, you're giving me things that are such high threshold, including the moving of the ear. Ears don't naturally move. If the animal's moving its ear after death, that's a huge sign of life. Shmuel says, I have even a lower threshold, which is simply if the animal bends its leg. Because yes, if it extended it, that's a sign of death. But if it bends it back, that's a sign of life. So I need something even less significant than what Rav said. And that's what he was saying to the Talmidim. I don't need Rav's moving of the ear. I have something that's even less than that, and I still consider the animal to be alive. So certainly the moving of the ear would be something that is alive. Okay, we're going to stop here. 12 lines down on the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph.